Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 64, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We have a special guest on this week, a good friend of mine and a web celebrity. I think, I'll call you a web celebrity, my friend Amber MacArthur. She's a working mom, a tech reporter, author, speaker. She does it all. So we're going to chat with her and talk about a breastfeeding campaign as well that chafes, if you know what I mean. And we're going to have a potty training update. We got a new baby beta that's been potty trained. But first off, let's welcome Amber MacArthur. How are you, friend?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a nice change for me to be able to talk about real life instead of just talking about speeds and feeds and tech. So it's refreshing. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. So your son is now three?
He's almost three and a half, believe it or not. And Natalie, I think back of to the days where I first met you and I was newly pregnant and in that awkward phase. And it goes very fast and it's been going really well. So it's been fun.
Yeah, you were 5 months along and hiding it really well. So I don't think I could. I think I barely hid it for 5 months. But then I heard people say later, yeah, we thought she was just getting fat.
Oh, yeah. I had that, too. And my husband's a cameraman, so he kept shooting any videos we did. He'd just get higher and higher and higher until it was just my head floating in the screen. But I don't think I fooled anyone either.
Yeah, well, now I work for CNBC, which is the best tech, which is the best network to be pregnant on because we have the ticker tape. So you can't see anything except your face. Not that we want to hide it, though, because pregnancy is such a beautiful thing. But you and I did a panel together on the Girls in Tech thing about a year and a half ago. And you had talked about, I thought this was so interesting. You said that you purposely chose not to do any kind of mommy blogging when you became pregnant, even though you were kind of this, you know, you have a really substantial presence on the web. You've done web video for longer than most people, and you've been reporting on the web for, you know, you're a pioneer. But for some reason, you thought motherhood's going to be off limits. So I thought maybe you'd tell us a little bit about why you made that decision.
Yeah. You know, I think it was been a bit of a struggle with but exactly be a working mother and still appeal to the audience you used to appeal to. And for me, it had always been the technology community. And I was always a little scared in terms of how they would react when I was having a son and going into motherhood. So I think one of the reasons I just was very protective about that was because I always felt as though I was really, really good at the tech stuff and the social media stuff. And I didn't have an overwhelming amount of confidence in being a mom, not because I thought I was a bad mom, but I didn't really have any experience. So I shied away from it a little bit. I think I'm getting more comfortable as time goes on, but I still don't share that much as far as photos and a lot of my personal experiences. Of course, though, like many moms, I have lots of amazing experiences and learn from other moms like you guys.
Yeah, I think that was hard for me too, because I was known as someone who is, you know, you're known as like a young kind of fresh face on the scene. And then I thought, oh, what's this going to do to my reputation? Not so much as like the, I don't know, available girl, like an illusion of availability or something, you know, but more as, and I do think that a lot of people that followed me on Twitter or Facebook wanted technology news for me. And I get sometimes people are saying, oh my God, she's talking about her kids again. And so I have a really hard time balancing that because my brand is important, but so is what I organically want to say. And you have a book out about this, about power friending, about managing your brand, you know, more for corporations, but also for yourself. And so it's something I think about a lot for myself and for Mommy Beta. So how do you justify those two things?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things for me, too, that I live in a constant state of paranoia about my son. And I mean that in the sense that, you know, you have your mommy fears as far as them hurting themselves and putting something in their mouth that they shouldn't put in their mouth. But there's also that added level with, I think, social media. And what I mean by that is I tend to veer away from things like location-based services like Foursquare. I don't really use them all that often. I don't put pictures of Connor up on Facebook. And that's more just because of the way that I feel comfortable in terms of my own personal brand. I just want to present this, you know, maybe a different image. However, I see people, and Natalie, I have to say, you've been such a great model for me, how you've been able to balance the two. And I think there is room for that. It's just taken me a lot longer to feel comfortable with that. And, you know, it's amazing because I read so much content about being a parent and all of these issues. And I'm doing the same stuff every other mom does, but I maybe just don't talk about it as much. But like I said, I think it's changing.
Right. And we had a viewer on Mommy Beta. I wonder, Jennifer, if you remember this guy who said, you know, we can see pictures of your kids online. And we're like, do you know what a mommy blog is? You kind of have to. Do you remember that tweet, Jennifer?
I don't remember the tweet, but I too have been paranoid about having photos of my daughter. I think it was a while back when Google Plus changed privacy settings. I don't know if you guys, not Google Plus. What is the Google social network?
Yeah, it's Google Plus.
Google Plus. Okay. So they had changed the privacy settings so everyone could see everything. Everyone could see everything in my Picasa albums. There are a lot of photos there that I don't want seen. And I deleted that account and I got really serious about my privacy settings on the internet because you could just Google my name and see my daughter and see my location. And it really freaked me out. And my husband actually got really frustrated about it too. And he said, you should really think about what you're putting out there. And it did open my eyes. And so it's interesting to hear you, Amber, who obviously know a lot more about technology than I do, are even paranoid about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unnecessarily paranoid in some respects, but I don't seem to have figured out the balance. You know, how much do I share? How much don't I share? So I've just chosen maybe not to share a lot. And I create a lot of content too, so I feel like I'm sharing a lot of that. So I just don't want to inundate people with too much content as far as putting lots of photos and that type of information out there. But I also think, and I don't know, Natalie, if you would agree with me, but in the earlier days of technology. Reporting, and there's been a few of us have been doing this as women for a while. I also felt like I was one of the first women to have a baby, and so it was very weird for me because I didn't really have a model in terms of who to look to. I mean, I'm sure there were women out there, I just didn't know them. But when you think of like Callie Lewis and you, Natalie, and there was a Sarah Lane, a bunch of women, it was just it was not a common thing. So that was part of it too. So as more and more women, I think, feel more comfortable with sharing a reasonable amount of information online and talking about their family life and their work life and how those things are sort of woven together, that I think that more people will be comfortable. And I think that could be a good thing for moms who are trying to balance it all.
Right. It's kind of a generation that was growing up. And originally I thought, well, I'll just never write his name. You know, I might go ahead and put some photos up, but I'll just won't use his name. And then, you know, that became just way too hard. And then, you know, my husband Clayton, who also has a presence online, you know, both of us were like, we're never going to put anything there. And then, you know, we get so taken by him that we're like, we must share with the world how brilliant he, you know, you can't help it because you just want to share your child because they amaze you so much. And so I thought, well, maybe I just won't use his first and last name. So now if you Google his first and last name, you wouldn't find it necessarily, but, or at least you wouldn't find specific posts about like him potty training and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you know, it's hard. And I have to think about how is he going to feel with the fact that his potty training tales are completely on the internet. I'm not sure how I would feel about that. And Jennifer, you can talk about what Elle will think about how everyone knows she pooped under the dinner table.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Too funny.
So, you know, another thing that I know is really, I follow where you're going all the time, and you do a lot of public speaking. And I think, wow, it's so great that she has such a supportive husband that, you were able to, I think you said you nursed to 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were on the road. How did you do that?
It was a nightmare. I'm glad that I did it. Don't get me wrong, but I have no illusions about how difficult it was at times. And I tell this story about, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months into being a new mom, and I was traveling a lot, and I had flown to Houston, and I was there overnight, and I didn't realize how engorged you would be when you're away from your son at such an early age, and or your kid. And I was literally on the plane, and I was fortunate enough to upgrade to business class. And, you know, they give you those hot towels. Well, I grabbed two of them and I'm literally like placing one in each side of my bra. And I'm looking around, there's all these businessmen sitting there. And I'm just thinking to myself, people say that, you know, men and women are equal, which I agree. However, I think the challenges of motherhood are different, especially for working moms. And at that moment, it became very clear to me that there was no model that I'd be able to use as in terms of how things should be done. I just had a really supportive husband and I was committed to nursing. So I was either traveling or working, or I was pumping and leaving milk for my husband. And it it was draining and exhausting, but
literally.
literally draining and exhausting. And then I did other stupid things. Like when I actually stopped nursing him after 2 years, I was going away for 5 days for 2 speaking events in California. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. You know, I'll go and I'll just stop nursing. Of course, not having read much about some of the issues with that, I ended up, as my husband said, almost walking around in circles because one side of me was so engorged and blocked that I was in pain for a week. So, not overly pleasant, but I think we look back on those experiences and realize it's good for your kid, and you just suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, no one tells you that you're still going to make milk even when you're done. Because I thought I was, slowly drying up while he was losing interest in it. And 2 weeks later, I was like, why am I in pain? And it wasn't even really engorged. It was just like, it was there. And so I was like, maybe I should pump this. And I was like, disgusting. How long has this been there?
Oh, I know.
Did you pump it?
Yeah, I pumped it. And I was like, I couldn't feel it. I didn't feel engorged, but I felt sore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had some knots. And I thought that maybe they were breast lumps or something like that.
Of course you did. Jennifer is our biggest hypochondriac.
Hey, I'm working on it. I'm much better. and I didn't have to pump mine. They just slowly went away. But my milk had been going down quite a bit for quite some time. So I was lucky enough where I wasn't engorged when I stopped. But it's amazing to me that, Amber, you had so much milk over 2 years and were engorged even when you were stopping. I'm curious how your son was with stopping. Was he ready?
Yeah, he was ready. It was no issue for him. In fact, I shouldn't say that though. He has a bit of a boob fetish. And I, in terms of putting his hands down my shirt a lot, it's not that he wants to actually nurse. And he's never, even after I went away for that period, I came home and he just accepted it. You know, he was comfortable stopping and that was fine. But when he's sad or he's upset, his hand goes right down my shirt. And he just puts his hand there. And he must have memories of that being a comfort place for him, and hopefully he gets over that in the next couple of years.
That's funny. It's funny now to watch my son watch me nurse my daughter, and I wondered how much he would remember, and if I thought he's 2 now, and I was like, I wonder if he would even know how to do this if I latched him on, or do you forget after a year? And he kind of looks like, I might want that, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
He just kind of looks with ambivalent. He stares, but, more like I'm a juicy steak than...
Yeah. Exactly. They're not quite sure, right? So I think it was, for me, it was definitely harder on me than it was on him. And he was ready. And I think that was great, just knowing that there weren't going to be major issues. But I don't recommend just going cold turkey and stopping, because it is pretty painful.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You win. I think all of us, the most any of us really got to was a year. And so, and you set your goals, and, I'm 3 months in with Ava now, and hopefully I'll get another 9 out. But I think, in my head, I just want to make it to that year point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you plan on doing 2 years when you started?
I planned on doing at least a year, and I felt like it just got easier over time because they need milk less. So, it was in the morning and in the evening, so it just became a comfortable thing and it wasn't that big of an issue. So I didn't really plan 2 years, but once I got to almost 2 years, I felt like there was a tiny bit of me that just sort of wanted to reclaim my body, if that makes sense. You guys probably know what I mean. That I just felt like, I want to just have my body again, and it just to be, in a normal state where I'm not necessarily like always eating for someone else and nursing someone else. And then the downside of that was, and I also didn't realize this, I guess some women stop nursing, maybe they lose a lot of weight. I gained like 10 pounds right away. And that was also a struggle because I had lost so much from nursing in the first couple of years and then gained it back when I stopped. So there was all these, moments, I think, where you're just surprised as a first time mom about things that happen. And there's no manual, unfortunately, like there is a tech.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk more about reclaiming your body, but first let's thank our show sponsor. They are Drobo.com. Drobo is a hard drive and a whole actually array of hard drives that allows you to customize your storage solution to your own personal needs. So of course, as a mom, as a grandparent, you're always snapping photos or videos, and those are things you don't want to lose and you don't want to keep locally, either on your iPhone or your smartphone or your computer. You want to make sure you're backing up, experts say, to the cloud, to your your hard drive and to some kind of backup solution. So we think Drobo is great. They have solutions for any budget, and they have redundant drives. So if one drive fails, it's backed up somewhere else. Go over to Drobo.com, and if you check out, tell them that the Mommy Beta podcast told you about them, or tell them that on Twitter. We would really appreciate it. But again, backing up is just something you have to do, and especially with little ones around, if you lost your photos, it would be such a heartbreak. So make sure that doesn't happen to you. Drobo.com, we thank them so much for their support of the Mommy Beta podcast. Moving on, so this article made a lot of headway in the blogosphere this week about a new campaign on Twitter called the Bear Campaign, and it was just for a bottle, they were bottles, and the ad said, new baby, reclaim your wife, meet Bear, air free. So, you know, it was suggesting that, you know, dads should use this bottle in order to get the baby off breastfeeding so the breasts can be yours, all yours. People did not like this. So what's your gut reaction to this, Amber?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be so careful when it comes to motherhood in terms of your different campaigns. And I think that this one isn't a good fit. I always wonder if when people are coming up with these ideas, if it's a bunch of people in one room who have never had any experience as mothers breastfeeding and as husbands who have wives who breastfeed. But it just seems like a situation where they didn't fully think about it. I think there have been worse examples of campaigns online that have been more offensive to moms. But I think it's a little bit silly. I think they could have perhaps come up with a better idea, especially in the face of so many people, moms who are blogging out there and may react negatively to something like this.
Yeah. Jennifer, what was your reaction?
Well, I thought the same thing, and I read through the entire article that was on Huffington Post. And at the end, it talked about how this campaign was actually just put on by the founder of this bottle that's debuting in September and her assistant. And so it was just the two of them coming up with ideas. And it looked like in the beginning, they started out on the right track, just like, you know, with tweets like, your nipples don't release air, why should your bottles, which is one of the main things about one of the main points of why this bottle is better than others, because I guess it's sort of like Dr. Brown. It doesn't release, you know, air back into your baby, but allows, which doesn't cause the gas and the reflux and all that. But and then they went down a different path of, oh, you know what, let's help fathers out too and dads about getting the boobs back, which confused me because I guess my experience, Amber, is different than yours because I didn't go past, I guess I stopped around 10 months. And I don't know. I'm viewing this as, okay, I'm pumping into this bottle, but my boobs are still leaking milk. So it's not like my husband's going to be hopping on my boobs anytime soon. And if you're breastfeeding, you're doing it in for, you know, the nourishment for your children. You're not just going to be deciding, oh, let me just stop and use this bottle because it's like my boob, but I'm putting formula into it. It's just the two didn't relate. And so, but I, you know, I will say that my sex life was still great post baby. Actually, I think it may have been pretty hot about 5 months afterwards or whatever, even though, you know, you couldn't get the breast action. I was really scared about the boobs because I'd heard horror stories about squirting and all that stuff whenever you were having sex, I guess. But thankfully, that never happened to us. But I'm curious to hear your husband may have felt about, you know, this, I guess, not extended period of breastfeeding, but he didn't feel like he was being left out.
And furthermore, there's this notion that, you know, like the husband wants you to stop as well. So like, how do we feel about that too? Like if we did have a spouse that said, hey, you know, I'm not really turned on by this, can we not do it? Like it's really up to them.
I would probably send them to the door if they were like that. I'm going to be honest with you. It wouldn't be a good conversation. And that's where I think I'm lucky. Like many women do have very supportive partners, and my husband was supportive in terms of be breastfeeding as long as it took. You know, to be honest, for him, it just became an easy way for us to soothe our son as well, right? I mean, there's a comfort in knowing that if he was really sad or he was going, you know, to get shots or whatever it might be, that this was like instant satisfaction. You know, the boobs were like all of a sudden like the most amazing thing in terms of being able to supply him with milk and comfort. And so he was always supportive about it. As far as sex life, I mean, that's amazing 5 months in that you had that experience with your husband. But on our end, you know, I don't think it bothered him. And I think if anything, like because you are bigger than you normally would be, it's not a bad thing in his mind. So it was never an issue on his side. And he just was comfortable with whatever I had decided.
Now, Amber, you do consulting and you do keynotes about using social media. So what would your advice be to this company about making this kind of gaffe?
Yeah, I think with a lot of companies like this, we've seen this so many times that there's social media mistakes that they make. And I think they could be avoided if they did some testing with communities of people, their audience, for example. It doesn't have to be expensive, but just find some people, like if they're mommy bloggers, women on Twitter who they know who are moms, and just run a campaign by them. That could be a really simple way to make sure you don't make a mistake like this that gets headlines all over the place and gets people reacting negatively. So it's important to test outside of your own little safe office and try out a campaign and figure out if there's any way it would offend people. And I don't know about you girls, but or ladies, I should say, but I think you have to be really careful with anything that targets the mom community online. You know that moms have a powerful voice, so I would proceed with extra caution with that community.
Yeah, particularly those that are opinionated about breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And but you know, here's a question, because I'm a marketer myself, and you know, I wouldn't have otherwise known about this bottle. And just because they put out this tweet that obviously was not the right message, I'm still curious about the bottle itself. So I would probably still look in it. I wouldn't just not purchase it because of this. Would you guys do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that even their messaging is a little bit confusing about the benefits of the bottle. That was my impression when I first read the article, actually. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like they dealt with the marketing and the messaging all that well in the first place to understand that some of the benefits. But that's just based on this one article in Huffington Post.
And is it plastic? I didn't even look at it. That's what I care about.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that, but most likely it is.
Yeah, so we're all pretty anti-plastic on Mommy Bay. So that's all. I care more about that than their ad campaign. Unless they did something like Chick-fil-A where they came out and said, yeah, we feel this way. The boobs are for sex. Then I would probably think twice.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a sensitive space, right, to start getting into the breastfeeding conversation in social media channels. You want to be really careful how you deal with that. And I think they've probably learned their lesson based on this article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of pissing people off, let's wrap up our show with Jennifer's potty training update. So Jennifer did potty training boot camp this week, and I'm so proud of little Elle. Seems like she did so well. How do you feel about it?
Thank you. I am so proud of her, too. I was really surprised to see how cooperative she was. I had obviously no idea what to expect going into this, and she took to it right away, and I realized it was more of potty training mommy in a sense than potty training her, because she's like, sure, okay, I'll go sit on the potty and look at the iPad, do the puzzles and stuff, and you know, through that she learned how to potty. But then after about 2 days of no accidents, I was pretty confident, feeling good, and we went out for a little outing, and I had gone a pretty long time without putting her on the potty because she'd been going so long between pees. And we had an accident where she peed on the floor in a store. And thankfully no one saw it. But, you know, I realized then that it's really my responsibility to help her to remember to go, because these accidents can be more, you know, just as much my fault or more so than hers. And since then, we've been really lucky. And actually, she hasn't worn a diaper in 3 days. She's been sleeping in her panties, napping in her panties, and things have been going really well. She finally pooped in the potty, which was a big thing for me. the first time, as Natalie mentioned before, she pooped under the dinner table while we were eating. And then the next time she was, I said, do you need to go poop on the potty? And she said, no. And then she said, bye. And was going to climb under the dinner table again.
I'll be in my office.
I got to go do it somewhere else. So I swooped her up and took her in the bathroom screaming. And then she likes to poop in private. And I put her on the little potty. We have a big potty and a little potty. And I said, okay, I'll just go in here. And I walked into the next room. I was like, so I can't see you. And there was a towel in the door, so she couldn't close it all the way. But she got off her potty, went over and closed the door as much as she could, sat down. I heard some sounds. And the next thing I heard was, look. There was a big poop in the body, and it was just such a great moment for the both of us.
That's awesome.
It's so funny how it can feel so validating when you're like, you are getting it, you're learning.
Oh yeah.
And it was funny because I was peeing yesterday, and she saw me peeing, and she put her hands in the air, and she goes, yay, mommy.
That's awesome. It's amazing to see them get to that point where they're feeling independent and they finally have kind of mastered it as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's been great. And I never would have given it a shot if it hadn't been for Natalie Morris starting so early with Miles. So thank you, Natalie.
Yeah. Well, again, I was the pioneer because I was so pregnant, and I thought I'm just not going to be able to give him the attention that he needs for potty training after the infant comes, which was true. I don't know how I would do it with Ava right now, and he's more than ready. So, I'm really proud of him. But you know, I just was a little bit. I don't think I jumped the gun though. I really do think he was ready at that point.
Yeah. You know what? I should say we have this, we got this potty, and I don't know if you guys know the name of it. It's fantastic, but it's like a little step ladder, and then the actual potty goes on top of the toilet. I wish I knew the name of it, but it's fantastic, and I highly recommend it. My son loves it. It looks like a little spaceship almost, and you put it right on the toilet. He can do it himself, and then he climbs up and goes to potty, and he's been amazing with potty training because there's no fear of falling in. It's so secure. It's a little bit more expensive, but I'll try to dig up the name of it, or maybe you guys know it.
Yeah, I think we have a potty training Pinterest board too, because I bought so much stuff just to see what would work and what wouldn't, and it might be one of the two. We have those with the ladders too. One of them does not work really great, and the other one fits really well. I think the spaceship one might be the one that we have that works well.
Is that the Thermo Baby, Kitty Lou?
Probably. Yeah.
I was looking over there. We got the Bjorn insert, or not necessarily an insert, but you just set it on top of the bigger body. And we already had a step stool, so it doesn't have the little things you put the hands on the sides, which I can see why this other one would be great for that. But,
yeah.
But we like this one.
I just found your page, Natalie, and yeah, this is it. You say this one fits a little better and is a little more sturdy. I don't know the name of it still, but it's blue and green, and my son loves that.
Baby. Yeah, that's the one. The one that is just blue and white doesn't really work quite so well. It starts to bow in after a while. It's called the Mommy's Helper Contoured Cushy Step Up. Not so great. And also, I burned it on the floor heater. So I accidentally took it off while one of us was using the potty, and the backside burned a little. But even before that, it was starting to bow in, so he doesn't fit so safely on there. So that one I don't recommend. I should take it off the Pinterest board. No one buy that. Well, congratulations to Elle. That is a big victory for the week. We usually like to wrap up the show with a little victory. I didn't warn you about this, Amber.
But it's all good.
Would you like to share a little victory for recent parenting?
Sure. I mean, my son, actually, even though he's 3.5, he just started being able to. I wasn't really great on doing formal potty training, but I went to visit my brother's kids, who he has 4.5-year-old twins, and they basically taught him about a year ago how to pee on his own. And it took a while for him to learn how to poo on his own, but we were just back there in June, and he saw them and he mastered it within days. So we were a little bit later with that, but I got 4-year-olds to teach him, and I don't know what that means, but it worked like a charm. So that was a big accomplishment for us and our family, just that he's, you know, totally fine now, no accidents. And that was probably one of his biggest accomplishments as of late.
Good for him. Awesome. Fewer diapers in the atmosphere is always a good thing.
Yes, I agree.
and more time for us to not do mm-hmm. potty. So, and I was thinking about it cumulatively today too. And I was like, so Miles was potty trained by the time Ava comes along, but I still have 2 more years, you know? So Jennifer, you'll get a little break during your pregnancy, but Jennifer's due in the winter time. So,
oh, wow. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in that fat stage that you guys mentioned before where you're not, you don't look pregnant, but you kind of look fat and you can't fit in your clothes. And so now I'm pulling out the stretchy leggings, trying to pull out my old maternity clothes and dust them off. And they're you know, still big because you obviously get really big, or at least I did during pregnancy, but I'm in that in-between stage.
Yeah, it's tough. I ate so much. My doctor, I think like 7 months in, was like, are you sure you're okay? You're eating, you're gaining too much weight. And it's because I just took, you know, as women, all of our lives, we face pressure to eat really healthy and to make sure that we're thin. And I felt like I'm going to really take advantage of this 9 months. And I just ate whatever I wanted. I mean, within reason. But it was very free feeling, and I enjoyed it a little too much.
That's interesting. We talked about this topic on last week's show, and I sort of did the same thing, pretty much did. I gained like 50 pounds in my last pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so I was saying this time around, I'm trying to keep it within the 25, 35 range, which Natalie Morris was so successful at doing. But
well,
it's hard.
And now I'm in the stage where, you know, I've lost most of my weight, but I still can't wear a lot of my clothes because my boobies are still so big and I need to be able to get at them. So even if the clothes fit, I can't, you know, it's like a dress. I'll have to completely take over my head to breastfeed, and I can't do that 50 times a day. So I'm still not completely in any clothes that I want to wear. So thank goodness for cotton clothes at Old Navy.
And then I don't know if you guys feel like this, but sorry, I just have to ask you, ladies, since I don't feel like I don't get to talk about this all that much, but I totally avoid clothes now with an empire waist where it looks like you're pregnant. Because my biggest fear, and maybe this is because I'm online so much, and Natalie, you would appreciate this, I'm sure, is that there's just a picture with me wearing a top that's kind of like a flowy top, and the emails are going to be like, are you pregnant? So I'm like terrified of clothes, pregnancy-looking clothing. I have like anxiety about it.
That's funny. Well, I still kind of need it, so I'm not that paranoid about it. But yeah, if someone were to say something like that. I remember during my pregnancy, people said, hey, kind of looks like you're pregnant. And I just was like, I already said I was pregnant, you ass.
I was at your shower, and I was like really thin after losing my daughter. And I was trying to gain some weight or keep the weight on. And Natalie Gafori was pregnant and was talking to a lady next to you. And that's when the lady said the comment of, oh, which of you is due first? And, you know, Natalie Gafori was 2 months behind Natalie Morris. And she and I was talking about something. She said, oh, you're pregnant too? And I'm like, do I look pregnant?
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's hard when you struggle to lose it.
I wonder who that was. She gets the dum-dum of the shower award.
Yeah. But on the boobs, I had a really hard time with that after I had Elle because my boobs were so much bigger than they'd been any time in my life. And I was like, how do these girls find shirts that fit? Because I felt like every shirt I put on made me look fat because I had these huge boobs, but my, you know, waist wasn't as big as that. And so I was very impressed by you ladies and being able to find stuff that was flattering. And I don't know why people get boob jobs that have huge boobs.
Yeah, it's I don't get it either. Even, you know, I've always had pretty sizable chest, but it's just the need to get to them all the time that really bums me out, you know. Like I said, I've got some dresses that will fit me, but how am I going to get to those boobs? You need easy access to the boobs. Man, we've talked about boobs a lot today.
Yeah, I know, but you just get comfortable, right?
Right.
And I go to the gym now when we'll go with my son and he'll go swimming. And I'm literally sometimes realizing that I'm practically undressing in the family room, like totally naked. There's men in there that are like 30, 40 years old. And I forget. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still on TV. I don't really need these pictures to show up, but I've lost all paranoia about being naked or showing the boobs in public after nursing for so long.
Yeah. And I've pumped in super public places and it never got online. So. I've pumped on buses, on subways, on airplanes, you know, so I'm just sitting there. And sometimes I'm like, I wonder if these men around me even understand what I'm doing because I've got the Hooter Hider on.
Oh, yeah,
And the pump, but there's no baby around. I'm like, they probably don't understand this at all.
Probably not.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
I would say it's such a funny experience. You know, you can't really understand it unless you're in it.
Exactly. Well, speaking of nursing, I can hear my daughter yelling up, so I need to go. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mommy Beta podcast. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks so much, guys. This was really fun.
And we will see you all here next, or listen to you all here, talk to you all here on the Mommy Beta podcast next week. Remember, you can always find us, mommybeta.com. You can comment on anything on the site. We are on Facebook, Mommy Beta on Facebook, Mommy Beta on Twitter, Mommy Beta on Pinterest. So chat with us. See y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.